Welcome to the Creatives Experience Podcast, hosted by yours truly, Isaac Whedon. On each episode, I will be speaking with artists and bringing you in on their life, faith, and creative experience. I'm excited for you to be joining us today. Thank you for listening. So without further ado, let's get to it. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Creatives Experience Podcast. Forgive me as I have been a little bit away from the podcast due to parent life and fatherhood, and I'm very grateful for that privilege. But I'm excited to kind of get back to these episodes to give you guys more encouragement and challenging thoughts with fellow artists and creatives to help challenge you to step into what God is calling you to do. And today I have the privilege to speak with Bezzy. He has a very, very talented producer and artist, and he's currently out in Pasadena, California. And we're going to dive into everything from fatherhood and production, just a journey with being a music maker. And I believe this will be a very great conversation. So before we jump into that, let's hear a quick message from our sponsor, Dad. All right, brother. Thank you for joining me on an episode.
Yes. How are you, man?
Hey, bro. I'm blessed in Christ. I'm just excited. I haven't done an episode in a while. And it was funny, as I'm setting up all the gear, I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, I'm kind of nervous. You're like, you kind of get into like a habit of doing it all the time. And you're just like, oh, it's just an episode. I'm just going to sit down and have a conversation. And I feel more relaxed now. But I did have a little nerves.
Dude, it's going to be great.
Amen. So for those who have no idea who you are, I've never like ran into your music or even through your social media and whatnot. In a nutshell, what would you like people to know about you?
I'm an electronic artist and producer. I steered more towards the EDM, dance, anything bass music, anything like that. Mm-hmm. And you may be a little bit confused as you look at my Spotify because the last three releases are hip hop.
Switching it up on the people, so come on.
Switching it up on the people. Awesome. It's been a long journey to kind of get into music. Awesome. Most of my success, quote unquote, it has been producing other artists.
Cool.
So producing, mixing, and mastering, and doing marketing campaigns for some other artists.
Right on.
They're not super huge. You may not have heard of them, but they've had pretty good success in terms of
streaming. It's not about being huge, bro. It's just like about creating good music. That's the most, because good music will last for forever, for years and years and years, you know, where there's like, you know, somebody drops a random song and it's like, eh, and it just gets blown under the dust and another one goes on top of it and people forget about it. Before you jumped on, you're telling me that you've been producing for about 10 years now, yeah?
Yes. I mean, I was the kid in high school who was like, I actually made a CD. This is back when CDs were
Goodness, showing your age,
produced,
bro.
I produced an album and sold CDs to my friends in high school. I mean, I was that kid. I had a music MySpace, you know. Wow. You would want to try to get in my top eight for sure. back then it was Nate Deasy.
Okay.
Now it's just Desi. But salt to Paul. I've just been the type that I just try to learn things on my own. So I didn't have graphic designers, so I learned graphic design. I didn't have video editors, so I learned how to edit video. Yeah. I didn't have web designers, so I learned how to edit, you know, great websites.
That's good. I mean, that's a big thing about being an artist or any type of like creative, really, is it's not just the one thing that you're doing, you know. It's like, hey, I have this one specific thing I love doing the most, but for me to execute it to the level that I hope to, I have to actually do all these other things also.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I hear a lot of people talk about what they want to do based on if it's their passion or not, quote unquote.
That's good.
And I think if you want to go after what you want to go after, you're going to have to do 90% of it is things you're not going to be passionate about. Even in the modern music industry, it favors the indie artists. And as an indie artist, you got to be able to wear multiple hats, learn new skills.
For sure.
And spend hours a day on YouTube and Google and blogs and
learning. It's like homeschooling. Yeah. Awesome, bro. So I ran into you, Josh from Soundseekers, he once like sent me one of your videos. I'm like, or maybe you like, I think they featured you on their page or something like that. I'm like, man, who is this dude? And there's not a lot of like electronic Christian artists. Like there really isn't, man. And there's like a whole lot of rap. There's a whole lot of like, you know, worshipy type. I guess that's a category. But when it comes to like true EDM, whereas for me, you know, I fell into the rave scene around like 16 years old. And so like my first show was Skrillex. And after that, I kind of got out of like that style of extreme EDM. Like that's extreme EDM to me. And then I got into house music, you know, so like, and I still very much love house music, but there's like a huge, I don't want to say a huge lack, but I believe there's definitely room to grow for the producers and artists, in this like realm, because I don't know, man, it's like, I feel for very long, this has been deemed very similarly how hip hop has been deemed like that's Satan's music. You know, it's like same with EDM. People are like, oh, how can the Lord be glorified through this? It's like, how can he not? Like God's blessed us with all these gifts to create whatever, you know? And so to say that you can't glorify God through EDM, like that limits God's capability of creative capacity, you know? So I'm very excited to like just see your journey, bro, and kind of watch from the side and see how things go. And especially now that you've been producing for so long, like I see the videos that you'll post and like, man, like the variety and range is vast. Like you really do have a vast variety in sound. Especially since you were like, would do a lot of production for other artists, that really kind of pushes you outside of boundaries and makes you do things that you usually wouldn't have to do as an artist, where you're like trying to maintain a specific sound. So yeah, bro, I'm encouraged to see like such a variety of creative juice from you, man. It's super dope. And also you really like touching on, so for you guys who have no idea who this guy is, go check him out on his Instagram. You'll be quite entertained as well as encouraged and challenged, as he talks a lot about also not being limited to, you know, once becoming a father or becoming a husband or really stepping into the things that God has really created for beauty and for us to grow deeper in Christ. Like he really touches on these things. So thank you, bro, for your authenticity and honesty, even on just social media, sharing stuff like that, because people need to hear it, you know. So you've been producing for a long time, but before, you're telling me, before you kind of like you're at where you're at now, you stepped into married life and fatherhood very, very quickly. So kind of just touch on that, bro. Like let me know what has been the trials, what has been the revelations and the journey and stuff like that.
Yeah. So I'm 28 and I have four kids. I got four boys.
Praise God.
Age 6, age 4, age 2, and age 2 months.
Wow.
That's my lineup. Starting at point guard. Yeah, we're almost there to the basketball team, hopefully.
There we go.
But yeah, my poor wife, she wanted a girl, and I gave her four boys. So
we'll pray for the next one, bro.
So I got into life at age 20. I felt the Lord. I got saved my freshman year at college.
Cool.
I'd grown up as a pastor's kid, had parents who loved the Lord.
You're a PK too, bro?
Are you too? I knew it.
Yeah, bro.
I
knew the
vibe. But towards the end of my high school, just fell away from the Lord.
Word.
Until I went to college and got wrecked by the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. And, have just a life-altering encounter with God. And then from there, a year later, I left school. I decided school wasn't for me.
Okay.
I ended up getting a job at a nonprofit organization working with youth in the prison system.
Wow.
And ended up getting a home, having a kid. Like, I just kind of got into life.
Yeah.
Pretty early on.
So if you don't do these things, guys, you're not in the life right now.
You're behind.
I'm kidding.
No, yeah, so I just... Yeah, I say that because like my friends were like still in college, and I'm like over here with like a house.
Yeah,
and a
white kid for car. Sure.
It was just like it just kind of fast forwarded. But then my own journey into this whole doing music for a living has been a long, long, long journey.
But
the Lord's really slow cooked this thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I think a few things with having kids that's important to know if you're young and you're looking at marriage and having kids one day. You got to know that children are the blessing of the Lord. Mm-hmm. Children are the long range weapon of kingdom advancement. If you look at the Psalms, I think it's Psalm 127 or 129.
I will verify.
Yeah, the Gospel of Google will tell us. It's the one that talks about having arrows in the quiver.
Oh, a quiver. Yeah. Cool. Okay.
The children of one's youth are like arrows in the quiver. Mm. And yeah, so there's when I'm looking at my long-term plan for destroying the kingdom of darkness and building the kingdom, there's no greater focus I can have than building up these young men who are my sons. They're my arrows. I'm going to pull them back and shoot them out. They are my focus. So many times I want to focus on music and my brand and what I'm building. If I don't focus on them, I've completely missed it. Completely missed what God wants to do. And I've always connected with Abraham so much, because I feel like he's called me to do things that Abraham did. I left my home in Ohio, sold my house, left my job, and moved out to California. Mm. I live on faith as a missionary. I raise partnership each month to do what I do.
Amen, bro. I don't know that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I work with this organization called One Voice, and we do what we call Jesus Clubs in public high schools. Obviously, with COVID, our ministry shifted. We've exploded online. Awesome. We've had crazy growth online. It's been awesome. But
Lord, man,
we can get into that later. But yeah, yeah. So I just think there's this verse where the Lord tells Abraham, "Through you, all the families of the earth will be blessed."
Yeah.
So the family structure is how God wants to disseminate blessing to the world around. Like, and so it's not a curse to have kids. Actually, in the Bible, if you were barren, that was the curse, you know.
That's right.
Like, it's a blessing to have children. It's the blessing of the Lord. If you want to put a target on your back for financial blessing, for provision of every kind, have kids. Like,
hey, there we go.
There's no fear. Like, I just want to just dispel fear. If you're like, man, I can't have kids because I won't be able to provide, or like, dude, I'm living out here with four kids, Pasadena, California, as a missionary. My sole income is through partnership development and raising people to sponsor me each month.
Amen. Bro.
So like, I'd love to hear your excuses or your fears as to why.
Bring it on.
You know, so
that's good, bro.
My rent could be four times some of y'all's mortgages out there.
Oh, for sure.
I own a home in the Midwest. I know what it's like. So, but yeah, it's just crazy. Like how if you just give your life to Jesus, not just your sin, but your destiny, and you say, God, whatever you want to do.
Amen.
I wanted two kids max, maybe. Like, you got to understand, like, I'm not this dude who has always wanted this big family. Like,
yeah.
But I have a wife who's literally Wonder Woman. She homeschools our kids. Like, she's insane.
Praise God. A good
and
insane.
And her destiny as a woman is to be a mother. Like, and so there have been times where I think she's really challenged me to like lean into this and do this. And there's times where I'm like, dude, like four. I wanted to be done. You feel me? So, but I just, there's no other way to live, man, than to just whatever Jesus says, to just do it. Like when he says, jump off the cliff, you jump off the cliff. Like,
good.
And
good.
The rush to the bottom is going to be scary and exciting.
Yep.
But you'll always land, you know? So.
Amen. Praise God, bro. So here, I found you were spot on. It's 127. I'll just read it. I'll read the whole thing because it's stellar. All right, verse 1. Psalm 127, verse 1. Unless the Lord builds, this is a New Living Translation. Unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. This goes even back to like being a father, you know. Unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with sentries will do no good. It is useless for you to work so hard from early morning until late at night, anxiously working for food to eat, for God gives rest to his loved ones. And here's the one that you were talking about. Children are a gift from the Lord. They are a reward from him. Children born to a young man are like arrows in a warrior's hands. How joyful is the man whose quiver is full of them. He will not be put to shame when he confronts his accusers at the city gates. That's beautiful, man. Praise the Lord.
You want to talk about strategy to end darkness in our world, like become a parent.
That's good, man. That's good.
It's even interesting, just with all the things going on in our world. We had this moment with our son the other day. We're driving to the park. My wife's driving him to the park. And they drive past a protest. And my son Leland, who's six, is like, what is this? You know, like, and my wife's explaining it to him, these. Because he was like, are they angry? Like, what's going on?
Yeah. Oh, they're angry.
Yeah. I'm always explaining, like, just all the things that are happening. And even explaining racism to him. And,
yeah.
You know, just all this. And he's like, wow, like, that's not from God. Like, what?
Wow.
What is that? You know, because he's like, we're out here and like, he's the only white kid on the playground and he's making friends with everybody. Like, he doesn't really know race.
Yeah.
But we don't want him to live not knowing race. We want him to know. We want him to be able to celebrate other cultures and not be oblivious. But that's where he is. Like, he just doesn't understand. And so it's just so funny. Oh my gosh, like, mom, like, that's not from God, you know, like, and
wild.
So he gets out of the car and his other friend pulls up because they're going to the park, and he hops out, and his little buddy's Hispanic. And so he walks up to his friend and he's like, hey, your skin is brown and my skin is white, but I love you and we're best friends.
Hey, that's awesome. Like,
that's how you end racism, dude. You just, like,
at home,
you raise your kids.
Exactly.
Every single person they come in contact
with
in the most pure way. So I just, there's so much to be said of being a father. We're in a fatherless generation, and
we really need
like the spirit of Elijah. We really need the fathers to be awakened to love and father people. But yeah, it's just like, yeah. How do you fight darkness? You raise kids, man.
Amen, bro. No, that's real good, dude. And especially now, it's so funny, bro, that you brought up, because I was like, oh man, we got to talk about what's happening today. And then you brought it up. I'm like, oh, all right, this is the Lord. So regarding what you said, how like this is how we fight darkness, you know, now in today's era and what's taking place and current events and all these things, like that isn't the answer that's being said. You know what I'm saying? It's destroy everything that has to do with this, and that'll be the solve, you know? And it's like, you don't fight darkness with darkness. And I like that. This a kingdom cannot stand against itself. You know what I mean? But that's what happens when there's a lack of, how to say, there's no like true understanding of purity and what it is to be holy, what it is to be righteous. Like, when the world can't fathom what that means, well then it is what it is, you know? And then you have this result, you have this fruit. And it's sad, man. It's super disappointing. And even like with how I've been seeing a huge response in the Christian community and all these things, especially even like the musical, like I follow a lot of artists, and just the response I've been seeing, and I'm just like, man, like, oh guys, let's not respond with emotion, you know, like don't get caught up, like do not get caught up in the hype, because it will steer you wrong. You know what I mean? And like, there's nothing in the word that talks about or talks to support, you know, responding with emotion. You know, it's like, that's not how you look at what the fruits of the spirit are, you know? And it's just like, I can't help but look at self-control. Like, that's huge, huge, you know? And I guess what's coming to mind right now is like Jesus going to the temple, right? And then he flipped the table, made a whip, all this stuff, right? He ran all these people out the temple. They're like, yeah, well, Jesus was able to do that. Yeah. But the context of that, like, that's in that time, that was God's house, right? Like, and they turned it into a den of thieves. You know what I'm saying? So there was a righteous anger that was the response to such a thing. But when you see people like the world responding in anger, it appears to be righteous anger, but the result isn't righteous. You know what I mean? And so it's just like, we could have a response, but if the fruit of that response doesn't come down to, hey, the issue is we need to have changed hearts. We need Christ to transform us, not we need laws to be implemented, or like, it'll still help for it to have better laws and execute things better politically and through the law and through the justice system. But it's just like, it comes down to Jesus, man. It comes down to Jesus. And as you're saying, what better way can we do that by raising the next generation? You know, like Jesus, like, go out and make disciples. Now consider this. Can you disciple somebody every day for 18 years if they're not your child? No. How do you do that? Like, how can you possibly spend every single day with like a stranger that becomes a brother or sister in Christ, right? Like, how do you disciple them every single day for 20 years? It's not how it's done. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that we can do that with children, building a foundation of righteousness, like creating a rock hard foundation for them to live their life out with Christ in hope that they never turn away from the Lord, right? But even if they do, which you and I both experienced, is if you know the truth, no matter how far you stray from it, you can't ignore it. It, like, you're going to stray, and then it's going to come back to, wow, I knew what I needed to do all along. Like, God, I'm incredibly sorry. This is pathetic. You know what I mean? And my hope is, like, people don't have to turn away from the Lord. Like, I hope your kids and my kid, like, and future kids, like, they never have to experience that, because they don't need to. There isn't a need to fall away from the Lord to really, like, gain an understanding of Christ. Like, that's just ludicrous. But often I think, like, and I don't want to, like, put this on my parents or your parents or whatnot, because obviously we're all our own individuals and we make our own decisions and stuff. But it really comes down to discipleship, you know, like, are you discipling your kids to get to that point to never have to stray from the Lord? You know what I mean? Like, that is my hope, like, that I don't, like, lose sight of the fact that my ministry is at home first. My wife is my ministry, my marriage, my children, then music, then marketing, creating videos. You know what I mean? Like, there has to be a level of supreme things that are standing above your creative journey. And until that is set in stone, just literally, just like as I read in the first verse of Psalm 127, it's a waste. It does nothing, you know? Oh, I'm so excited, like, fatherhood, bro. Oh, my goodness. That's so awesome.
Scratching the surface.
Yeah, I know, bro. I had no idea what it's going to be like, but it's very exhilarating just to think about, like, man, like, aside creating and hearing all these great things, and people are like, oh, man, you know, thank you so much for what you're doing, and da-da-da-da, or, like, the Lord's using you, and it's like, oh, yeah, cool. Thank you. Like, glory to God. But it's like, I haven't even met you yet. You know what I mean? Like, I've never even, you didn't even meet half these people that will write to you. But to be able to spend, like, every day with a wife or with children or even brothers, sisters, whoever, like, man, there's something different about physical interaction, physical life with people, you know, and there's no hiding. Like, you can't hide behind a facade or, like, oh, well, you know, God is good. My life is great. Like, the Lord's blessing me, but I'm struggling with this, but I'm not going to post that because, you know, I don't want people to know. You know what I mean? Whereas, like, on everyday living life, you can't hide that stuff. That's the beauty of truly being in fellowship with people. Amen. Yeah, so, yeah, go ahead, bro.
No, go ahead.
So what's, now that you're, you know, doing all that you're doing, being a missionary in California and very much so online, you know, being a dad and a husband and chasing after, you know, these things that the Lord has placed on your heart with him, what's, like, the next few steps you see for the future? Like, what is it that you feel like God's leading you into right now in this very Christian term, this season?
Amen, brother. I mean, practically it's dropping a single a month between now and the end of the year.
Yes, I like that.
Really, it's growing. Great. So great. Really getting to the starting line of this race, man.
Good, man.
The last few months have just been just trying to capture attention online, just grow the content.
Cool.
Just develop that, get that set. And then, but I've been working on collaborations and releases
very cool.
Coming up.
Very cool.
One that's going to come next month, is featuring an artist named Paul the Messenger.
Really?
UK artist. Yeah.
I follow him on SoundCloud.
Yes. It's got this, like, Afrobeats meets dance.
Cool.
Very summery. So yeah, I've got one a month with a collab. It's very important for me to get a dynamite vocal on it.
Good.
And, yeah, just
dynamite. I like that.
Dynamite.
Woo.
Just really, just really trying to grow Spotify through collaboration, through monthly drop. Cool. Just really grow a brand as an artist. And then what we're doing with One Voice, when schools shut down, our whole ministry is going into schools and training other churches to go into schools.
Cool.
But when Corona hit, everything shut down, we start hopping online, and we've seen an explosion just an organic growth. We've had like over 1,000 followers a month organically.
Awesome.
On Insta, grown on YouTube as well. But we've really been digging into TikTok. Trying to learn this platform. And we launched this event. One of our guys, he's actually in Virginia. He's kind of in our crew, in our leadership. He really spearheaded this this initiative we pushed called Gen Z for Jesus.
Oh yeah, I saw. Is that a hashtag now or no?
Yeah, it's a hashtag now. So we pushed this as like a 1-day prayer event, like kind of like how The Call and Lou Engel would do it, but for young people.
Cool.
And so we pushed this, and we had 4,500 students text in, "Yes, I want to pray and fast for my generation on June 17th. Wow. And yes, I want to hop on my social and preach the gospel."
Amen. So we
kind of saw the social response. And then from June 17th to the end of the month, the hashtag has had 3.7 million views on TikTok.
That's Jesus.
To Gen Z for Jesus, this hashtag.
Wow.
People posting and people viewing it. 3.7 million
That's
views.
That's wild, bro.
So we're just really stepping in while the window is open.
Amen. Yeah.
For the gospel to be proclaimed, we're hitting it as hard as we can on TikTok and Instagram.
Do you guys do like a dance for it? Is that right?
We did a dance for my track, Holy Water. This is a track I released a year ago.
Okay.
But I got with the guys. Basically, one of the guys created the dance. The other guys galvanized his network of like TikTok influencers. And they just pushed it. Last I checked, it had over 100 videos done to it.
I mean, that's a lot, bro. Like, yeah, that's 100 is like, it's a lot of time people spend on stuff like that, you know?
Yeah. So it's just been cool to really learn that platform. For me, I'm doubling down on this platform, dude. I'm not growing on Instagram as hard as I work at it.
Yeah.
I am growing on TikTok. There was one day the other week where I grew more in 24 hours than I had in 2 months on Insta.
That's wild.
I think it was like 60 followers in a day on TikTok. I was yep, I'm doing TikTok. I think it's, every artist should be woke to this platform. It's definitely evolved from like the middle school girl dance platform it's arrived for sure. Mm-hmm. So
cool, man. That's it's funny. Cause like, so I'm like very down the rabbit hole, politically and stuff like that. So I kind
of,
like,
me too. I almost got rid of my whole iPhone, bro. The first 2 weeks of COVID, I did a deep dive and I literally was like, I'm going to get rid of my iPhone. I'm going to only browse on the dark web. Like, I was like, so I feel you, bro. I just got to the point though, where I was like, you know what? Like, you know, when they start rounding up Christians and killing them, I'll be the first to go. Cause I'm so public, whatever.
Word.
Like, I'm not going to live in fear.
But
I'm seeing there's a window open for the gospel.
Oh no, for
like,
sure.
Before we get kicked off all these platforms, like I'm going to hit it hard.
Yeah. Cause we will.
So like, I feel like Rahman, we probably,
I'm like, you know, China owns TikTok, right?
Yeah. They can hear me right now. So it's only a matter of time.
Not counting like Zoom and every other, you know, platform out there.
Yeah.
Like I don't like Facebook at all, but then it's like Facebook owns Instagram and I like Instagram. It's like, you know,
but every tech company has everything on me. Like,
I mean, even
Amazon and eBay, like,
hear you, bro. No, that's cool, man. I respect people like, hey, I want to utilize all these platforms. And I was at a point where I was like, me personally with me trying to like market and all this other stuff, right? I'm just like, I was trying to do all the platforms, right? Meanwhile, work like 50 hours a week and be a husband and try to like disciple people and stuff like that. And I'm just like, I'm overdoing it, you know. Like I'm really stretching myself thin. Like I want to be a successful music artist and put out good music constantly all the time, which takes a lot of work in and of itself. Run a podcast, do this, make some videos, content, IG, and I'm just like, I tried it, and I'm just like, I'm not trying to learn all these other things just because it's popping right now, you know, where for me, it's just like having to understand, like, so I suppose those of you guys listening is, do you understand what you're trying to do? You know what I mean? Like, are you trying to be a music artist that's just a music artist and that just puts out music and that's enough? You know what I mean? Like a Chris Howland, that dude deleted his Instagram this year and he's like, dude, I can't be on this platform, it's taking up my life. I follow him on Facebook, which I'm not really on anyway, but he'll like post a lot of scripture and stuff like that on there. But he doesn't tour. He doesn't do any of that. And he just makes a living off Spotify and Apple Music, you know? And then I myself had the privilege to drum for a few tour dates for The Lord's Child for Montel and Ecclesia this last summer. And that was super tight. And I've always thought like, dude, I want to go on tour and I want to do this and da, da, da. And then I went, I'm like, gosh, this is exhausting, dude. Like, and this is only a few days, let alone weeks, you know? And then I'm just like, really, as time continued, it was just really reanalyzing, like, what is it that the Lord's calling me to do in my creative journey right now, you know? And I realized, I'm like, I don't want to go on tour. Like I don't even make music that I can perform. Like, I don't play piano or I don't play instrument. I make beats on a beat pad. I'm a drummer. And it takes me probably 100 takes to get a good vocal take before I'm like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, I won't use auto-tune because if I ever do sing live, like, it needs to be, like, good, you know? And as I'm, like, I'm trying to do things that other people are doing, then I started realizing, like, oh, that's not really what I want. That's not really what I feel like passionate for, or that's not what I believe that God is calling you to. So like, I highly encourage any person who's pursuing music or visual arts or whatever it may be, is like having a very specific and direct understanding of, this is what I'm called to do, period. And then you just laser that, you know, and you just like hone in on that specific thing. And then the success will come because you're not trying to do everything that the world's doing. You know what I mean? And I see that a lot of Christians are trying to copy the success formula from Gary Vee and from you name it, they said it, you know. And it's just like, guys, like, can you get good information? Yeah. Will it work? Potentially it will work. But how much do you have to dedicate to get to that? You know what I'm saying? Like there are people who have teams to do social media and you're trying to do it one person. You know what I mean? It's just like, to get to a point that we're at today, you have so many hats you got to wear, right? And you got to come down to a point of maturity and saying, these are the hats I'm willing to wear and these are the hats I'm going to leave for other people to wear. And just leave it at that, you know? And then you get to a point, maybe you could afford to pay people. Awesome, you know? But I've realized myself, because I'm like, oh, bro, I need to get on TikTok. And because I used to do like a bunch of finger drumming videos all the time. And as I started working on my beat tape album series, where I'd like dropping an album every 3 months, I was like, I don't got time to like make videos or spend an hour to get the perfect take. You know, like, you literally do the same take for 60 times till you get it. And you're like, it could be better, but I'm just going to have to be all right with this. Which I'm sure you experienced too with your videos, you know?
That's the beauty of it. They can be rough.
Yeah, that is also true.
I spend very little time on it. That's kind of the videos that I spend the least amount of time on do the best.
Awesome. Awesome.
But yeah, you're totally right. It's interesting. You gotta pick your lane to an extent. Mm. But for me, honestly, I've been thinking about like, how do I diversify? Because when I see major Christian brands kicked off of platforms like Sight Unseen, it makes me want to go, like, am I growing a text list? You know, how do I diversify? But I think for me, what I did, especially when I launched kind of back out in April, I wasn't posting much before then. I kind of got back in. I took a couple weeks to just identify, what can I output?
Cool.
So I started creating videos each day, and I wouldn't post any of them. I was just trying to figure out how fast can I create stuff.
Okay, cool.
What is my output? What makes sense to me?
Yeah.
I know you're supposed to post on TikTok 3 to 5 times per day. I can't do
that. What? Are you serious?
Yeah. Honestly, if I can get to 2 per day, I feel like that'd be dope. I feel like that'd be really dope.
I've been one per day.
No, bro. People sit on this platform. The average Gen Z person sits on TikTok for an hour a day. That's why it's so exploding. People aren't sitting on Instagram. So you could go live, you could do
just
a story.
Just me. I'm the only one sitting.
Just you. Scrolling.
Yep.
But yeah, I want to reach the next generation. That's why I'm looking at TikTok. That's cool, why I'm learning this. And I don't hop on there and dance around. Like,
yeah.
I actually haven't done one dance video. It's kind of this.
It's coming, though. You guys follow him and see when he folds.
Oh, I'm going to fold soon. I'm jumping around. But there are lots of producers and DJs on there that I follow.
Yeah.
These simple little beat videos that get.
And they go crazy. Yeah.
I'm like, I could do that. You know, I could take 20 minutes of my day to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
And it's like, so I've got 175 followers, and some of my videos will have 1,000 views. Like, it's a much better algorithm.
That's cool.
It's a much better platform. But anyway, yeah, you gotta pick your lane.
Yo, are there? Yeah. Question: have you seen like fact checking on TikTok?
Meaning,
like on Instagram, for example, you'll post something, and there are fact checkers that work for Facebook and Instagram. And it's mainly like political stuff.
Yes, I have not seen that crap on TikTok.
Oh, interesting.
I think TikTok, all they care about is ruining your whole day. All they care about is capturing your whole soul. If you're keeping people on the platform, they're happy with you.
I got you. Are there ads?
There are ads.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know how new those are.
Okay. Because I noticed on IG, like
I'm seeing major brands do hashtag campaigns on there.
Really?
It's not as advertising-y. It's more like brands are getting on there and contributing and like hashtag, maybe it's Maybelline and you do a challenge. Yeah. Like, it's different.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. Interesting, man. See, like, this is good stuff. Like, I feel a lot of times, you know, a lot of people are like trying to pursue a specific idea of what they want to do with music or what they want to do with their creative journey. And it's just like talking about what platform to use. Like, it's good. Do your research, you know, like figure out what's best for you and stuff like that. Like truly, like Twitter, for example, Twitter's huge for a big reason. There's a lot of people on there and there's a lot of good stuff you'll find. And there's a lot of stupid stuff you'll find and it'll get people in trouble. You know what I mean? And it's just like, I tried it out for a few days and I'm just like, I can't, like, I'm not going to try to force thoughts and then put them out. Online. I'm just like, can I have them? Yeah, they'll come up. But I'm just like, this ain't me. You know, like this ain't, I'm going to get
them. Are there still people?
Yeah, there are.
Oh, okay. I haven't opened the app in like 4 years. So I don't
know. I got you. The thing is I follow a lot of people who will like repost their tweet as a screenshot on IG. Nice. And I do appreciate what they tweet. So like if they exist, there's gotta be a lot more people. but it's more for like the old school generation. I think it's like, it's the millennials and maybe the boomers also. But yeah, man. Tight. So you're doing a single every month. Is this starting this month?
July.
Tight.
July 24th. This is the first I've ever announced it, but
ooh,
who cares? I'm going to start announcing it soon. So.
There we go. Well, you guys got the first inside scoop.
July 24th, Paul the Messenger.
You're welcome. Awesome, man. I'm excited to hear it. So what, if I may ask, what got you to think about like doing a single every month?
Because it's 2020. No, just kidding. Because so for me as an up and coming artist, I've got nobody's attention span.
I got you.
So nobody's going to sit down and consume a long project from me.
Did you have that talk with Josh?
You know, Josh.
Cause I had that talk with Josh. Are you talking?
No, I was already thinking that for the end producer.
Tight.
That's my whole world.
Okay.
But I think when talking to Josh, it's more like, oh, every artist, every genre should be doing this. Mm-hmm. But for me, I've always known I got to do that, man. I'm a EDM producer, DJ artist. So
cool.
Yeah, I'll drop an album 5 years into my career, maybe, if I'm going to follow the other producers I follow.
Interesting.
I mean, honestly, all the producers I follow who are secular EDM producers, like, that's just what they're doing. So I was just going to follow suit.
What's some of your favorites, bro?
My all-time favorites, like the legends, are like kind of the cliche ones, but Skrillex, Sond Holo.
Oh, yeah.
Any of those guys, the more maybe niche ones are more like Ekali and Crane and Tosca Black. Anything on the future bass, the harder future bass side of things, I just really love.
Cool.
I love all, I mean, I like house, I like Afrobeats, I like, I like all of it, but the stuff I end up listening to as a listener is more like the hard stuff.
Okay, awesome.
The reason I love Skrillex so much is because I actually like his stuff he does with pop artists. Like, I love the stuff he just
puts out of his genre. Yeah, he's mad talented, bro.
He's freaking mad.
So. You know, he did the audio tracking for Transformers, right? He created, like, the Transformers sounds.
I didn't know that.
Because he's a sound designer. He's a flipping monster. That's awesome, bro. Cool. So it's funny because, like, I had the same talk with Josh about dropping singles, you know, because I had, like, I was dropping singles and then EPs and stuff. And then I had, like, worked on my whole, on a whole album. Like, for the first time, I just felt, like, really inspired. It's called the Freed album. It's, like, my first, like, step into kind of, like, chiller beats, lo-fi type stuff, but, like, worshipy, right? And I, like, talking to him, and he's like, bro, like, you should drop a single, like, every 2 weeks or every week leading up to the release of the whole album, and then, like, the whole album's out as singles. And I'm just like, oh, that'd be tight. So I'll wing it. So I did that. I had, like, but the worst part about it is, like, you need the different artwork for every track, bro.
Yeah,
I've spent more money on artwork for that project than on anything else I've ever spent money on. But so what it came down to was, like, I dropped it. The project wasn't amazing. I'm not, like, super proud of it. There's, like, maybe one or two tracks on there that I think are good now. And I, after I did that, I was really contemplating, like, was this really a good move, right? Because me as a listener, I do listen to a lot of EDM too. Well, mainly just house. I just listen to house. But I'll listen to a lot of playlists, but I love albums. Like, cause the thing he was telling me is, like, oh, bro, like, think about it. A lot of people don't listen to albums anymore. Da, 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 da. And I'm just like, I bought it, you know, I'm like, yeah, it's probably true. And then I started, like, figuring out who are my favorite artists, and I would go to their page. I wouldn't go to the top five songs. I'd go to the project, you know? And so I'm just like, man, like, I wonder if that was the right move for me. This is for me. I'm not saying this for everyone. And then after thinking about it, I'm like, I don't think that was the right move for me. I was influenced, and I'm not upset about it. I tried it out, and I'm just like, this didn't work for me. It was like, mind you, I didn't put huge money into marketing or anything like that. But I feel like at the end of it, as I talked to a lot of people who were like, see, they're like, bro, like, I couldn't keep up. So dropping a single every week was not wise. I don't even know if dropping a single every 2 weeks would be wise. So if you're doing it every month, you could, you know, you kind of get in front of people, they could hold on to it for a bit, and then you kind of, like, keep the waiting for them to, for you to drop the next one.
Yeah. And for me, it wasn't because someone told me to, it wasn't because it's, like, a trend.
Yeah, no, it just felt right for you. Yeah.
What you look at is, what's my output?
Yeah.
And kind of what's my strategy? Because I've released two EPs for two other artists, but it was because they wanted to, and they wouldn't kind of, like, bend on that. Mm-hmm. So what I did was I dropped one single 1 month, second single next month, EP third month. And the EP did all right. The two singles carried the weight. They got the majority of the streams, but dropping an EP didn't hurt. It didn't hurt them.
Yeah, I got you.
For me, as kind of like their kind of managing them, being as, like, a label to them almost. Yeah. For me, I was good because I'm like, cool, we're still getting our monthly drop. You're still growing.
Cool.
And you're really married to the idea of putting a project out.
Yeah.
I can't sway you from that. But hey, at least you dropped it in such a way where you built it up. Because for me as an indie artist, to do what I got to do to each release, I only have the capacity to do that once a month.
I can see
artists dropping track once a week. That's amazing. I'm not going to discourage anybody. Yeah. But for me, I would just be throwing a track out into the air.
Yeah.
Because I can't afford to do an ad campaign once a week.
No, for sure.
You know, all the pieces that go with it, my fastest output is once a month. So if you're watching and you're like, dude, my fastest output is once every 3 months, don't feel bad about yourself.
Yeah, stick to it. Yeah,
like,
stick
it'd be
to
better it. To, because that's what I think the reason I counsel artists not to do it, because I'm like, dude, don't take seven songs, throw them all out there, and one of them does well, and the other six just, like, totally got left in the dust.
Yeah, I feel you.
Take each one and put your whole eggs in each basket.
Yeah, yeah.
And grow with people over time.
I got you. No, that's totally bad.
But I'm not even, so, like, and even one of the artists that really wanted to do the EP was more in the acoustic songwriter space. So EPs are still relevant. Like,
yeah, no, for sure.
And we just dropped it in that adapted way of like single back release.
Cool.
And
cool.
More. And that's awesome. Cool. That's totally
awesome.
Cool.
So awesome, man.
It's kind of like, what's your output?
Yeah.
What are you capable of? But for me, it's like what I'm seeing now is like the artists who are growing are dropping one a month with a collab.
Yeah. Yeah. Collabs are huge, bro. Yeah.
They're focusing on getting playlisted.
Yeah.
What you're trying to do, your whole goal as an artist is you're trying to tell Spotify's algorithm who you are.
Yeah.
And who listens to your music.
Yeah.
That's success, honestly.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So who are you? What's your sound? What's your target demo? And then all the little things on release day, it's all about getting those people to the platform and trying to help give Spotify some data to work with.
No doubt. No, that's good, man. As I've been doing like an album every 3 months or like a season, like the autumn tape, winter tape, spring, and now I'm going to be dropping the summer this month at the end of the month. I got to a point where I'm just like, I've been like building this momentum where people like are waiting for the project now, you know? So since I've been able to build that over a whole year, it's way different for me now where it's just like, yo, I'm dropping the spring tape. People are waiting for this album and they're waiting for the whole album. Right. And the feedback I get most often is, I wish this was longer. Like, I wish the project was longer. Right. And I'm just like, man, well, like lo-fi tracks are like 2 minutes each, you know, like if you could push it past that, like dope, you know? And so this one I'm dropping now is like 40 minutes long. It's double the time. It's like 15 tracks, double the time I've had for the other projects. And so, I only say that is like, I had to build this whole thing to get to this point now where like, honestly, for me, I don't think I'll be dropping like singles just as a single ever again. I create to build a picture, and I want it to be listened to as a picture. You know, like you press play and you hear it for 40 minutes. And for those who don't want to hear the whole thing, I don't, that's fine. Like, it's not good. But this is the people I'm focusing on, and I'm just going to do that, you know? And I see great growth in that too. So there's no perfect formula for everyone, you know? It's like, figure it out.
Yeah. And you're talking about instrumental lo-fi music, which is a different
thing. Honestly, bro, most of my stuff isn't instrumental. I have vocals on almost every track. Like, so I do get it. I do have some instrumentals. Most true lo-fi is all instrumental.
Right.
But you can't really call instrumentals Christian because it's just music. Like, you know what I'm saying? But if I can incorporate glorifying Christ lyrically, I can also like hit another demographic of people. So
another demographic that this may not apply to too is like worship artists where like the EP and the album is still very much alive. So
there is it
for an artist listening, it's more about what's your output and your goal.
Yeah.
And don't just assume an EP is the right thing.
That's good.
Or don't just assume singles are the right thing. It's like, what is the goal of what you're trying to do? And what is your actual capacity?
Yeah.
And be honest about people's attention span for what you have to offer.
No doubt.
Why for me, when I started early this year, I wasn't thinking about releases. I was like, I just need to resurrect my social media presence, just capture attention.
So that when you do drop something, it's...
Yeah, because what's the point if I have nobody's attention?
Yeah.
Cool,
man. That's awesome. So for you guys listening, if you are someone who is pursuing to release music and stuff, talk to people, like hit somebody up that you've been building a relationship on IG or whatever social, or just friends that you have that are actually dropping music, hit them up and have a dialogue and discuss a game plan. What would be wise? Because it really comes down to, are we being good stewards of what the Lord's blessed us with? And this is very much so a stewardship issue. And if we don't treat it like a business, not that you need to focus on the money, but you treat it like a business as in, this is what I'm pouring my time into, potentially pouring my money into, and for it to be the most beneficial and what I can do on my end, obviously God can do above and beyond what we could fathom, right? And put you in a playlist that you'd be like, what? Or like somebody reposts you and you're like, whoa, my whole career just started, like for real. Until you get to that point, like we really need to steward what we have on our end first, you know? And so you guys got to make sure you have people you talk to, build relationships with people, just so that you, because like, I don't know, bro, I found a very much so it's easy to build relationships with fellow Christians in the industry, or like in the indie industry rather. Like,
yeah,
I've had no issues. You know what I'm saying? Maybe a few people that like don't want to talk, or like maybe our personalities kind of clash and we don't really chat much and stuff like that. But like, it's not hard. All you do is you go hit the message button and you type. And that's it. And you don't got to start off with like, hey, I want to be friends. Like, because no one does that. You know, be like, how can I be praying for you? I've been saying this on this podcast for a year now. How can I be praying for you? Hey, you've been a huge encouragement to me. Thank you. It doesn't got to start off with like, hey, let's collab, or hey, let's work, or hey, you're dope. Or like, just be a brother or sister in Christ first. And that is a beautiful, beautiful foundation to lay for getting to know people. And this is also why I really love having a podcast, for example, bro. Like we didn't talk before this episode. You know what I'm saying? Like, I knew about you. I've been keeping my eye on you. Josh mentioned about you to me. And then I'm just like, oh, I'm gonna see what this guy's doing. And like, I got to know you through your page, because you're real on your page, you know? And so when it comes to like, for me asking people to be on the podcast, I no longer feel kind of weird about asking people who I never really had a conversation with, because I also do the same on my page, where I like share about my life, share about what God's doing, da da da, and try to be as honest as possible, so that all someone needs to do really is go see my page and they could really get to know me. So that when you do start having a conversation, it's like you're not starting at complete zero. You have an idea of who this person is, and you just kind of keep snowball effect on that, and you just kind of keep building on it, you know? And that has truly been, this podcast has been truly the vehicle, me not knowing it, but it has been the vehicle for me, which by God's grace, he allowed me to step into this, to literally build relationships with people, talk with them for an hour, hear what God's doing, hear about all these challenges, hear about what they've been learning, da 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 da. And then later on, it's like, hey, I'm working on a project. Like, would you be possibly intrigued on being a part of that? And we're like, yeah, you know? And it's just like, oh my gosh, I can't believe these people want to be on my project. Why? Because of relationship. You know what I mean? So like, I look at my beat tapes and the features I have on there, I'm just like, yo, like these are some of the top indie artists I see out there right now in the Christian scene. And I'm nobody. Like, I just make beats in my basement. You know what I mean? Like, this is like a part-time thing for me. I just do it for fun, for the love of it, and praise the Lord, you know? But if we utilize all these different things the Lord has blessed you with, all these different gifts and talents, whether it be, you know, creating visuals, marketing, consulting, even, you know, like, do these things and you have no idea what God can do with it until you try. And then like, you commit to it, like, God, you put this on my heart. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it wholeheartedly because I want this to glorify your name, and it will, you know? And so I encourage you guys listening, and you as well, bro. Like, I mean, I feel like you already know this, but really it just comes down to like, hey, this is what God's calling me to, and I need people. It's about God, or made for God, but it's very much so directed to people. Without people, you can't have a music career. Without people, you can't have a social media. Without, you know what I'm saying? Like, it all comes down to people. And if that's not one of the focuses of your ministry, which it should be as a Christian, which is people, you're wasting your time, you know?
Yeah. You're bringing up a good point too about content, because it can be easy to get in the rat race of likes, comments, shares.
Oh, it's horribly
easy. And base your sense of worth, your sense of accomplishment based on that.
Yeah.
And it's totally not true. So like, I can look at my last 2 months of Instagram grinding, posting once a day, good content once a day. Yeah. And I could look at that and be like, cool, I grew about a net of 25 followers.
Yeah.
What a failure. Like, I could look at that. Or I could look at, wow, I've built
25 people.
No, not even that. The relationships I've built.
I got you.
I'm on this podcast with you because you saw my social. I'm like, wow, this dude is, like, if I wouldn't have shown you that, why would you even want to work with me at all?
I wouldn't. Yeah.
Like, sure. There's, and even the collabs I have coming up, never would have got this relationships without that content. So it's not about view counts. It's not about comment counts. It's about, are you actually forming a connection with somebody?
Yeah.
That's good. And you never know who's watching.
Seriously.
People of influence, people with relationships waiting to happen. That's the beauty of like, and that's why I was even telling this to an artist the other day. I was like, I'm not paying anybody for a collab right now. Not because I don't believe deeply that artists should be paid. Yeah. Not because I, and again, if there was a situation where that was the difference between hopping on or not, yeah, cool, whatever.
Yeah.
But I'm genuinely interested in building long-term relationships with other artists. That's the whole goal for me. Yeah. Maybe it's not the right goal for you, but for me, I don't want to approach a bigger famous artist and pay them. I want to find somebody around my level.
That's right.
Let's link up now. Let's team up. And then we'll both grow together. Amen. That's just my personal.
Yeah. No, for sure.
The only way that you can build a relationship is online through social media. And it's like, you got to fight that urge not to get discouraged by like your follower count, your view counts, and just find any way you can connect. And even for me, what I'm learning with TikTok, it's like, man, maybe I should just not be discouraged by Instagram. Just recognize, man, there's just a whole other platform that for whatever reason works for me. Like that's dope.
Good.
I'm connecting with more people
on
this other platform over here. But, yeah, it's all about not getting in that rat race of likes, comments, shares.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that stuff is very, you shouldn't base too much on it, honestly.
Mm-hmm. It's like deceiving data, you know? Mm-hmm. And I forget who I talked to. I want to say it was one of the first episodes. Gosh, I don't know if it was Alex Wilson. I forget who it was, but the person mentioned, I think it was a guy, he was like, man, when you look at numbers and you look at followers and you look at likes and all this stuff, and you get out of your head that you need 100 or a couple hundred or 1,000, and you consider these are real people. Like before, like last year or something, there were like nothing but bots on Instagram. And it was like, you get all these followers and then they unfollow you. And then all these, like, it was horrible, you know? And now I'm like slowly growing, but I know every single person's a real person. Like it's a real human, right? I go on their page. I'm like, it's not some spam account. It's not some weird, it's like a person, you know? And he said, he's like, think about it. If you get 25 people to follow you, just that, put those people in a room with you. How many people are filling that room? Your living room. Can you fit 25 people in your living room? Now think about the impact you can make on those 25 people in your room. Is that not enough? Is that not maybe even too much? It might be, you know? So if it's like, if we start focusing on, I need more people, I need more people, I need more people, because my ministry won't be validated, or it won't be as valid, or it won't be as powerful because I'm not influencing a million followers. Well, that's wrong. Because you might be the one who brings someone else to Christ, and they're going to be the next, you know who, Paul, whatever.
I did a Daily Drip episode on this. Do you want deep impact or broad impact or both? And it's kind of like, if you do want broad impact, I wouldn't want it unless I already have deep impact. You know,
That's good.
So you got to start with deep impact first. Are you making content that deeply impacts people? Here's the thing. It's not about what you post. It's about what you plant. Mm. Who are you impacting in their real life with your real life? You know, you can post something, you can reshare something, even with a lot of what's going on in our world. Like I'm not even really resharing that much anymore. I'm just like, I'm more focused on conversations I'm having with real people in real life.
It's good.
With my kids, with my friends, like with people in my DM, like that's more what's important to me. Like, what am I planting? And it's funny, some of the videos, I posted this video the other day where I literally just hopped on and was like, I'm proud of you. Like, you're doing amazing. Yeah. I felt so retarded posting that one. But I just felt like God was like, dude, as a father, tell these people that you're proud of them. As a father, you're proud of them. I was like, all right. And it got way more shares and way more views than anything else. And I'm just like, this, like, whatever. Why do I question anything? Because it's just, but it's just about connecting with people through what you do. But when you're starting off, you can't focus on broad impact. I don't know. I just feel like fame and success are from the Lord. Like,
yeah,
at least for me anyway, he's not going to give me more success than he has for me. Like, it's my job to get the 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then it's his job to do the multiplication. Like I can't just be responsible for that. Amen. You know?
No, you're right, bro.
Gotta be faithful.
Like, that's good.
Are the people hopping on my page going to be encouraged? Are they going to know God's identity for their life? Like, are they going to be entertained? Are they going to be uplifted? That's what I can focus on. I can't focus on the algorithm smashing it or not.
No, for sure, bro. That's good. That's good. Amen. Thank you, bro. This was a lovely conversation. I really appreciate your insight and just kind of sharing what, you know, all that you've learned and all that. I believe people need to still figure out for themselves. You know, like as you're talking, I'm like, man, maybe I need to reassess some stuff too, you know, because
that's me every day.
You get in this cycle and like you find something that works, you know, and it's almost like I found something that works, but just because it works doesn't mean I don't need to reassess. You know, I mean, like it's still like a continuous thing of like, all right, Lord, like coming back to the basics and be like, Lord, like, okay, praise God, this works and I'm grateful and thank you, da 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 da. But is this what you want? You know, like, am I getting caught up in what I understand, like my understanding of what you want from me, rather than like really being what you want from me? You know, because you can get straight away from the center of it. So. Thank you, bro. Yo, listen, every episode, we finish off with some prayer. If you'd be so kind to just bless the listeners, bro, whatever the Lord puts on your heart, just to pray for them. And then I will bless you and pray for you and we'll outro out and we'll continue the day.
Yes.
You got it. All right, bro. Start off whenever.
Yeah. So wherever you're listening, God, I just thank you for the people listening to this podcast right now. I just thank you that you're encountering them right now. And God, I just thank you that you're the ultimate creative. And God, I just thank you that, God, your desire is for fathers and mothers. Your desire is for family. You put the orphan in family. And it's not about what we're doing for you. It's about who we're becoming. So God, just would you just touch each person listening, God, and just call them into their destiny, call them into what you've put in front of them. God, just let them know they're a child of you, that you're pleased with them and, you're proud of them right now. And, God, just thank you that, we can do our life in your timeline, God, that you have a timeline for our life. You have a book written about our life, God. You see our days. And, God, but we just humble ourselves under your mighty hands, that you would exalt us at the proper time.
Yes, Lord.
And God, we just thank you for your timing, God. We just thank you that when we do that, God, we can cast our cares upon you because you care for us, and we can be free from anxiety, God. So just any kid who's listening, who's just feeling frustrated and anxious, God, we just thank you that you're the God of peace.
Freedom, Jesus.
And when it's in your timing, God, you exalt us and no one can humble us. So we just humble ourselves, God, to insert ourselves into your timeline, just to be waiting on you. Through our days, weeks, years, to just wait on you for what you want to do. And God, would you just bless them with the most wild explosion of creativity, God, as they love and serve the people in their lives. God, would you just release the sounds and ideas of heaven over them in Jesus' name, that you would just awaken the creatives in our generation, God, that would just be bold and unashamed for the gospel. Yes, that would just be raised up in purity. God, that you would just shield us from deception in Jesus' name, God, that we would look to the Bible, that our validation and our truth would come from you, and that you would protect our minds and hearts from deception, and that you'd keep us bold, that you'd keep us, keep our lamps burning and ready, God, that we would just be expectant for your return, that we would just be patient and just waiting for you to glorify yourself. And God, just really ignite passion for music, for art, design, film. Whoever is listening, God, just ignite their passion again, God. Just their zeal for just going after it. God, just encourage them today in Jesus' name.
Amen. Father, I thank you for my brother, Lord. I thank you for just the willingness to spend some of his precious time with me, just to talk about what you're doing in our lives. And I'm so grateful for all the things that you are catapulting him into. The preparedness that he is truly taking to execute these things that you've placed on his heart. I pray for his family, Lord. I bless him. I bless his children, all his boys and his wife. Father, I pray you continue to help him raise up these children to be warriors for the kingdom. And give him continued patience and peace for not only his children, Lord, but also with his wife, that they continue to grow in love. And you have your hand over his house. You have your hand over his ministry and his music. And you make things grow at your perfect opportune time. And he will continue to trust your time over any idea or any data or any expectation he may have, Father, that you are in control, that you are doing the things in your way, and that he'll be okay with that. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Hey guys, thanks so much for listening to this episode. If you feel free, if you feel led to leave a review, I would very much so appreciate that. I believe on Apple Podcasts, you can write a review and leave a 5-star rating if that is what you would hope to rate this at. Also, if you are led to sponsor this podcast financially, if that's something that the Lord's leading you to, praise the Lord. If not, I'm more than happy to keep doing this for free. Or for the few pennies I get from my ads. but truly, this is a privilege for me to be able to just utilize all these resources and I suppose passions and giftings to bring conversations to you guys. So I'm hoping and praying that this is continuing to bless you and that you continue to run into other artists and creatives that you have never heard of that will help you, I suppose, be motivated and encouraged to step out in what you're doing as well for the Lord. So thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, brother, for joining me. I will have all of your information in the bio below regarding where people can find your music, as well as where they can find you on TikTok and Instagram and any other social media platforms that you'd like to be followed on. Do you have a website?
YouTube?
Cool. How about this? I'll do you have a link tree or anything like that?
Go to Desi.com.
Desi.com. Perfect. Okay, cool. I'll drop that below. And feel free to share this episode with anyone that you think will benefit from it. And as always, if you have someone that you think would be ideal for an episode, please shoot me a DM on my Instagram and or shoot me an email. And I would love to hear your suggestions, as I've been very pleased with these suggestions thus far. So thanks again, guys. God bless you. Enjoy Jesus and keep doing what the Lord's leading you to do. All right. Thank you, brother. Have a good day, bro.